Proverbs chapter 23,
starting at verse 15. I'm reading from the 1901 version. Proverbs 23, starting at verse 15. My son, if thy heart be wise, my heart will be glad, even mine. Yea, my heart will rejoice when thy lips speak right things. Let not thy heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. For surely there is a reward, and thy hope shall not be cut off. Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thy heart in the way. Be not among winebibbers, among gluttonous eaters of flesh. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness will clothe a man with rags. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Buy the truth, and sell it not, yea, wisdom, and instruction, and understanding. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he that forgetteth a wise child will have joy of him. Let thy father and thy mother be glad, and let her that bear thee rejoice. Verse 23 is the verse under consideration tonight. Buy the truth and sell it not. Now let's read just a little in the New Testament. Let's read in, turn to the book of Revelation. For the sake of time, while you are turning, we're familiar with Mark chapter 8. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And in the book of Romans, it speaks about those who exchanged the truth of God for a lie. And they worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. And then in Revelation chapter 3, look down at verse 18. The Lord Jesus is speaking to this complacent church at Laodicea, and having rebuked them, he says in verse 18, I counsel thee to buy of me gold refined by fire, that thou mayest become rich, and white garments, that thou mayest clothe thyself, and that the shame of thy nakedness be not made manifest, and eye salve to anoint thine eyes, that thou mayest see. I counsel thee to buy of me gold. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Now, Father, again we rejoice at the opportunity of opening thy word. We're so thankful that it is an exhaustless treasure. We're so glad that thou hast made us turn our hearts to this book for strength, for enlightenment, for encouragement along the way. And we pray that we shall take to heart the passages that have been brought to our attention tonight. Thou knowest, our Father, how much there is that we need to know. And we pray that we shall have a handful of purpose this night. May we be taught of thee. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. When Paul was taken prisoner by the Romans when he was seeking to speak to his own people in Jerusalem, they had bound him and they were prepared to examine him by scourging when he made known to the centurion the fact that he was a Roman. And the centurion immediately went to the chief captain and said, What art thou about to do? This man is a Roman. And so when the chief captain heard that, he came to Paul and he said, Art thou a Roman? And he said, yea. And the chief captain said, for a great sum obtained I this citizenship. And Paul said, but I am born a Roman. Now think, here are two Roman citizens. The apostle Paul was born a Roman citizen, but this chief captain had to pay a great sum of money for this Roman citizenship. And I'm wondering, even though Paul had a great degree of perception and appreciation of values, I'm wondering if this chief captain did not appreciate his Roman citizenship more than Paul. At that moment, perhaps Paul was glad of it more than this chief captain. But this chief captain remembered the great price, the great sum that he had paid to obtain this Roman citizenship. And I would think of us who were outside the assemblies, and who paid a great sum to come into the assemblies. And I'm thinking perhaps of you young people, now older people, who were born, as it were, into the assemblies, and it cost you nothing at all. You know nothing about having a prominent place among the denominations, having no reproach about going outside the camp, bearing his reproach, as we read in the Epistle to the Hebrews. And so you are simply here, and I'm wondering if you appreciate the truths of gathering to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as much as those that paid a great sum to obtain this citizenship, this second blessing. I'm wondering. But this is how life is. Life is that which brings us into contact with truth, and when we come in contact with it, we either buy it or we pass it by. Here is something that is set before us, and we buy it, and some Christians sell it, and I'm wondering into what category you fall. If you happen to be in the assemblies, and I believe that this is the way of God more perfectly, when you do things wrong, according to the Scriptures, I reprove and rebuke and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine, but at the same time, if there are things right, then you say from God's Word the things that are right. And so, when this is so, I'm wondering if you who are here appreciate the truths that God has given you without cost. But there's one thing you should remember. Somebody paid the price. This man, now that's a Roman, who paid a great sum to obtain this Roman citizenship, if he has children and they are born Romans, it costs them nothing. They say, I'm born a Roman citizen. But it costs their father a great sum. And some of us have paid nothing to have the privileges that we have in the assemblies to engage and to enjoy in additional truths of God. It is an excellent thing when, as Apollos, a man knows the baptism of John. It is a greater thing when an Aquila and Priscilla know more truths and they're able to guide him into the way of God more perfectly. But it costs somebody. And I'm wondering if you appreciate it. It's the same way here in America. The freedoms that we possess, it costs men and women their lives. It costs them their blood. And here, we're born American citizens, and we enjoy this citizenship, and perhaps we esteem it lightly because we had to pay nothing for it. But many of the privileges of life come to us freely because we were born into these conditions. And some of us, having the same privileges as we, appreciate them more because they had to pay a great sum to obtain these privileges. Well, Paul was one that was born a Roman citizen, and this chief captain had to pay a great sum to obtain this Roman citizenship. And here we are with the truths of God. You will remember that this morning we considered something of a proverb. A proverb is an abundance of truth condensed, and then the preacher takes that which is condensed and he expands it. And perhaps the same man wrote Ecclesiastes as brought together this proverb that we've read in this book of Proverbs. Solomon had a multitude of proverbs, and he brought them together, and he put them in a book. And so here is a proverb tonight, and the exhortation is this: buy the truth and sell it not. And you're liable to ask this: buy the truth? Well, I did not know that such a thing was possible. I did not know that truth could be bought. Indeed, it can. But it's not always to be bought with the coin of the realm. It's not always something material that we can pay to come into possession of this truth. At times, it costs something far more than silver and gold. And because of this, there are many people who refuse to make the payment that is necessary to secure this truth. And if that's so, then you have refused the truth of God, you have rejected it, you have not bought the truth because it was too dear. And in the Bible, we have men who have bought the truth, we have men who have sold the truth, and then at the same time, we have those who bought it at one time, and then they turned around and sold it again. And I'm wondering what kind of Christian you are. I'm wondering if you are one who values above all else the purchasing, the securing of truth. Or are you like Pilate, to whom Christ was speaking? And Pilate, when the Lord Jesus said, "Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." And Pilate said, "What is truth?" And then he went out to the multitudes again. And so here we are, a man that asks, what is truth? But he's not concerned about purchasing the truth. And do not think that because you are a Christian, you have of necessity bought the truth, because that's only the beginning. Then, living for the Lord Jesus Christ, being obedient to the life that you receive, is stated in Scripture as buying the truth. And I'm afraid that many of us only go so far, and we never go any farther. You, as Christians, have done just that, because some truth is too dear. Do you realize that some of you could be wiser and better instructed Christians if you took this Bible memorization course? But you've heard that it takes effort, and you have not that time to give, and so you're not going to buy the truth. You're not going to hide God's Word in your heart by a systematic study, and so you refuse to buy the truth. Why? Because it takes effort, it takes time, and it will take you away from some of the other things that you enjoy more in life. And so here is an opportunity to buy truth, because when God's Word says, hide thy word in your heart, and you will not do it, not necessarily in a formal way, but if not in your own way, but many times a formal approach to it will guarantee a quicker and a more permanent learning than a haphazard method of your own. Because of this, it is costly in time, and it is costly in self-denial, and because of that, you refuse to buy the truth. Why? Because there is something in life that you value more than truth. And there are some of you who could take money that you spend on things that are unnecessary, and you could buy books that would give you the truth of God, the facts about the Word of God. Questions that you want answered are to be found in books, but books cost money. I have one special book. It's in two volumes, and it's called A Concordance to the Septuagint, and it cost me some $60. Would you pay that for two books? You say, $60 for two books? Why, I'm not that interested in learning. Why, of course not. You're not prepared to buy the truth. But the truth, as it's found in the Word of God, can only be secured at times by concordances, by lexicons, by books. And some people are prepared to take $60 and buy these books, but you can't find the answer without it. It's like a man who is an expert mechanic. He can fix any automobile, but he doesn't want to spend money for a set of tools. He has the natural ability, but you can't go in with your fingers and take the head off of a motor. You have to spend money for tools. They have to be in your possession. And you might have a brilliant mind, but you don't know how many times the word morphe occurs in the New Testament, how many times the word katangale occurs in the New Testament unless you have a concordance. You have to have those concordances, and they cost money. And some people are not prepared to spend that money, and therefore they will not buy the truth. And so it does cost in a material way. It costs sometimes silver and gold, great amounts, if you have to have the books to get out certain technical information from the Word of God, because it is an inspired book. Every jot, every tittle is inspired. The words are inspired, and the Spirit of God has chosen these words. And let me tell you, I might bring this to your attention, because it will encourage you. There is only one Englishman's Hebrew concordance put out by Wigram, and the man, Wigram, was among the assemblies, and I read recently how much it cost him to give us that concordance. It cost him personally $250,000 to produce this concordance. If you had it, would you spend it? This man could have used the money just as you did. But he said, the people of God need this truth. They need a Hebrew concordance. And it was not in existence. And so the man spends $250,000 to make this concordance available to you for perhaps $15. How many of you have it? You say, well, would it help me? Why, of course it would. The Bible speaks of, behold, a virgin shall conceive and be with child. And some people condemn this as a right translation or as a wrong translation. Well, by looking at this concordance, you can see in a moment. You can have the answer for $15, but are you prepared to do it? But for you to pay $15, you say, what a great amount. Why, Brother Wigram spent $250,000 to make this available to you. We don't realize that truth costs money, and it costs time, and it costs self-denial, and we're not prepared to pay this for the facts of truth. But that's just the first step. Understand that this is necessary. A man cannot buy the truth unless he is able to come into possession of the truth. A man might want to be saved, but how can he be saved without a preacher? The Bible says in Acts chapter 8, here is a man that wants to be saved. He says, do you understand what you're reading? Philip says to the eunuch. He says, how can I understand except a man guide me? And so Philip goes and guides him into the truth of God and says, the Lord Jesus is here in this chapter that you're reading about. And so some things are necessary. And Christians, it is necessary for us to have the facts about the truth before we can accept the truth. Here, it's something that we are not certain about. We do not know if this is true or this is the true interpretation of a passage. We do not know. But finally, we realize from a study of the Word of God that this is the true interpretation of that passage. But the moment that you learn it, that is when you have to pay the supreme price. Because you have to pay the price, first of all, to get a book, perhaps, to learn what the Word of God says, and then you have to discipline yourself and take time to search the Scriptures to find out what is the true interpretation, and then when you find out what is the true interpretation, then you have to change your life. And that is the costliest part of it all. And there are very few who will take the first step. There are fewer still who will take the second step, and how few there are who will take that final step. To search out the truth, and then having discovered the truth, buy the truth. There are many here in St. Louis, I dare say, that want to know the truth of God, but they have not the privileges that you have. But if they had the truth of God, they would buy it. But they're not able to buy that which is not for sale, that which is not at their disposal. They're seeking and seeking these things that you have for sale all the time. When a minister of God comes and presents the truth to you, it is for sale. That is a personal sacrifice, a yielding of your will. If any man is willing to do God's will, he shall know. But there must be the willingness on your part to do God's will. And unless you are prepared to do God's will, then you will never buy the truth. You think that coming and being taught and understanding intellectually what the Bible teaches is buying the truth. But that's not buying the truth at all. The Lord Jesus speaks about those that know the truth and do it not, they shall receive the greater condemnation. Those that know the Master's will and do it not shall be beaten with many stripes, and those that know it not and do it not shall be beaten with few stripes. And so do not think that we who are in possession of the truth are those who have bought the truth. That is not it at all. Simply coming to the place where we know what the truth is going far in the Christian life. But knowing what the truth of God is and then embracing the truth, that is buying the truth. Now, how much truth have you bought lately? Buying the truth is being obedient to the light that God has given you from His Word. And when this light is brought before you, because truth is light, when this happens, are you prepared to change your life, to become conformed to that which God has set before you as true and right and Christ-like? If you are, then you buy the truth. And if not, then you buy it not. And all of you young people and now older ones who have been born into the assemblies and you have never personally experienced these truths, you have not embraced these truths, you have not bought the truth. Perhaps your fathers, your mothers, your grandparents did, but you have not personally bought this truth. And at the same time, if you are prepared to go to any evangelical place and you have not seen the truth of gathering to the name of the Lord Jesus, that there is no such thing as a scriptural denomination, that there is no such thing as a true New Testament doctrine of gathering, if you have never seen that and embraced it, then you've never bought the truth. If you have no convictions, the Apostle Paul said, I know and am persuaded. That man had convictions. That man had bought the truth of God, and nothing would turn him from the truth of God that he had bought. They were too dear to him. Just as this chief captain had obtained Roman citizenship at a great sum, so the Apostle Paul obtained great truths also at a great sum. For him to acknowledge that Jesus Christ was Lord, it cost him everything. And so that is what God expects of you. And so in the Bible, this exhortation in the book of Proverbs is pertinent to us today, pertinent to you older Christians who have been going along with assembly truths, but you have never paid the price, you have never received personal convictions about these things. All of you who would be just as happy at any evangelical place that preaches the Word of God, you have not seen that there is not only salvational truth and doctrinal truth, but there is also a New Testament pattern of gathering. If you haven't seen it and embraced it, and if you're not prepared to pay the cost, because there is cost and there is reproach if you do take a stand for these things, then you've never bought the truth. And so do not think that being among those that gather the name of the Lord, simply hearing those doctrines and knowing them, do not think that this constitutes buying the truth. It is simply coming to the place where you are able to buy the truth. But when from your heart you say, yes, Lord, I will, Lord, that is when you buy the truth. And some people buy the truth, and some people sell the truth. I wonder into what category you fall. Let me tell you of some people who had opportunities to buy the truth, but instead of buying it, they sold the truth. Some of them sold truth, and they did not sell it so dearly. It always is costly in a man's life, but some it costs more dearly than others. And those who have the opportunity to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life, but refuse Him, then that is the costliest of all. Because it says in Mark chapter 8, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? That man had a chance to have the salvation of his soul, but instead he exchanged his soul for not the whole world. The Lord Jesus was offered all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, but Satan offers you less. And yet the Lord Jesus tells us that if the whole world were offered to you and you took that world in exchange for your soul, you have sold the truth, you have made a bad bargain, and you can't re-exchange the lie for the truth. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? There is nothing. And so some truths that you sell are costly. Some are more dear. And so here is a man in Mark chapter 8:36 that has nothing to exchange for his soul. And there are ever so many in the Bible that have done this same thing. What the Lord Jesus speaks of in a way that is not concrete, he does not give us any definite name, he does not give us any definite illustration, he simply speaks of a man gaining the whole world and losing his own soul. He illustrates it in the Gospels. There is a young man in Mark 10 and in Matthew chapter 19. This young man comes to the Savior and he says, "Good Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He's seeking the truth. He wants to know how to be saved. He wants to know how to get eternal life. He doesn't know. And he comes to the truth of God, the Son of God. And the Lord Jesus said, "You do this." And he told him step by step what was necessary to obtain eternal life. And the young man said honestly, because the Lord Jesus loved him, looked upon him and loved him when he gave that answer, he said, "One thing you lack." He said, "Go sell all that you have and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." Here was the truth. He wanted to know how to get eternal life. The Lord Jesus said, "Here is the truth. Now you may buy it with this purchase." And the young man went away sorrowful. His countenance fell because he was one that had great possessions. Here was the truth of eternal life presented to that man, and he said no, because it was too costly. The Lord Jesus does not require this of every man. He does not say to all to sell everything that they have. In fact, when Zacchaeus came to the Savior, he simply said, "The half of my goods I give to the poor." And the Lord Jesus said, "Today a salvation comes to this house." This man said, when he was asked, "What must I do it to inherit eternal life?" The Lord Jesus said, "Go sell what thou hast and give to the poor and come, follow me." The Lord Jesus knows what needs to be told each individual man. And without going into any details, understand that this man, to purchase the truth of eternal life, it was going to cost him all the possessions that he had. And he was not prepared to buy the truth. And so he sold the truth that he might retain his possessions. And if you are unsaved tonight, whatever the Lord Jesus has set before you as being necessary to receive him as Savior, if you say yes, then whatever it cost you, that is what you paid for the truth. You bought the truth. When you say yes to the Lord Jesus, as the Apostle Paul, he said, "What things were gain to me, those have I counted loss for Christ." The Apostle Paul heard, and he said, yes. And the things that were gain to him, he counted loss. But when the rich young ruler heard the way of salvation, the things that were gain to him remained gain to him. And he never suffered loss for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he retained his possessions. He sold the truth. He retained the possessions that he had, but he lost eternal life. He is one. There are ever so many in the Bible that do that. This man did it for possessions. There are others that do it for things other than wealth. I'm speaking of Herod. I'm speaking of Pilate. There was this time when, to maintain his reputation, here is Herod, who has seen this woman come and dance on his birthday, and he's so impressed with this dance that he's prepared to give her the half of his kingdom, and he swears with an oath that he will give her the half of his kingdom. And so she goes to her mother and she says, "What shall I ask? He's going to give her the half of his kingdom if I want it." She said, "Ask the head of John the Baptist on a platter." And so she went back and she said, "Give me the head of John the Baptist on a platter." And when Herod heard this, he was sorrowful, because he knew that John the Baptist was telling him the truth. He had looked at the king and he had said, "You are an adulterer." And Herod hated him. And this woman that he was living with in adultery, his brother's wife, she hated him. And he put him in prison. But he heard John the Baptist because he knew he was a righteous man and he was speaking the truth of God. But now that his prestige might be maintained, he has given an oath, and the king's oath must stand. Therefore, for the sake of his oath, and for all of these dignitaries that heard him make that oath, he cannot go back on the word that he's spoken. And so, to maintain his personal esteem, he sells the truth, and he loses his own soul. Here is a man of God that has told him what is right and what is wrong. but that he might maintain an adulterous union with his wife, that he might put John the Baptist to death to keep his personal esteem, his power, just as in the Old Testament when the queen refused to come in and be seen by the other king, Artaxerxes, then because of this, the king's dignity might not be lowered, why the truth of God was sold and not bought, and it cost him his soul. Do you see how dearly these men paid? What did it cost this rich young ruler to maintain his possessions? It cost him his soul. For possessions, for earthly material things, he was prepared to sell the truth of God and not buy it, and it cost him his soul. And Herod, for personal esteem, he was prepared to sell the truth of God and buy it not. And Pilate, why, it was similar. Because here is Pilate, a ruler, and when he speaks of releasing the Lord Jesus Christ, and it says that that man knew the truth. He said he knew that the end of the Jews had delivered him. His wife had had a dream and said, don't you do anything to this righteous man. And Pilate knew that he was righteous. And here was the truth of God. And Pilate said, I'm going to scourge him and let him go. And he said, if you do that, you are not Caesar's friend. Any man that makes himself a king is not a friend of Caesar. And when Pilate understood what was involved, that it might mean his deposing from his position of authority, then he delivered Jesus into their hands. You see what it cost him? That this man might continue to rule, he was prepared to sell the truth. He was not prepared to buy the truth. And what would it have cost Pilate? It might have cost him his position. It might have cost him his influence over the Jews. It might have cost him his life. But still, once he learned that Jesus was the Son of God, that he was a righteous man, this is the serious thing about coming in contact with the truth. You have to buy it. But if you do not buy it, you sell it. And whatever you give up for the Lord Jesus Christ, that is the cost of buying the truth. But if you refuse to give it up, that is what you sold the truth for. And so to maintain a position of authority, Pilate sells the truth. Herod, that he might have his personal esteem, that his chief lords, that his dignitaries might continue to respect him, when that Herod makes an oath, he keeps that oath, that people might esteem him highly, he's prepared to sell the truth of God. And so it is throughout the Bible. The rich young ruler, that he might keep his possessions, he is prepared to sell the truth of God that he might maintain his possessions. And so this is unsaved. And all of us who are saved can rejoice in these things. We say, yes, that's true. So many unsaved people sell the truth and they buy it not. But the people of God continually are refusing to buy the truth. Any new doctrine that comes into your life that is the truth of God that you refuse to embrace in your life, why, you've sold the truth. I know of one woman that is greatly influential. She comes from godly parents, and yet she refuses to submit to Christian baptism. She asked me when a baptism was coming up, what do you think about it now? What do you think about my being baptized? And I said, I think you should be baptized. She didn't expect that, you see. She had a position of authority. She was highly esteemed. But I said, I don't care how old you are. If you've never had believer's baptism, you need to be baptized. But she said, others don't know I haven't been baptized. And I can't have them to know this. I can't be baptized at this age after being a Christian for 50 or 60 years. I just can't do that. You see, she wasn't prepared to suffer the humiliation of going on all of these years without experiencing believer's baptism. And so she sold the truth. Here is the doctrine of baptism. The Lord Jesus Christ teaches it. The apostles teach it. The epistles teach of baptism. And therefore, this woman was not prepared to do it. She wasn't going to buy the truth. You see, it might cause embarrassment upon those people that esteemed her so highly. You've been teaching us the Word of God, and you have never even been baptized. Why? I don't know if I'm going to respect these things that you taught me so much in the past. And so it is about the Lord's Supper, about coming together on the first day of the week to simply remember Him. Some people know nothing of that. They know nothing about God seeking worshipers. And because of that, they are not prepared to do it. they'll come out at 10:30 or at the family Bible hour. Well, they're prepared to come after that. But to simply come and remember the Lord Jesus Christ, to seek to worship God collectively in spirit and in truth as set forth in the Bible, are they not prepared to pay for the cost of that truth? You see, and so these things come along. You say, well, you haven't touched me yet. I've been baptized and I come and I remember the Lord Jesus. Well, all you have to do is to wait a moment. And as you read in the Word of God about these individuals who either bought the truth or sold it, eventually we come to you. And I would say this to you young people now, you who happen to be unmarried at this time, and I would rebuke you who have been married. I say, here is an unsaved one that you love. You are a child of God. And it says in 2 Corinthians 6 that you are not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. The Bible condemns a child of God being united in matrimony to an unsaved child of this world. You know that. And yet, if you do not marry this individual, you do not know if one will come along as suitable as this one. And therefore, you say, I'm going to get married at all costs. And so you, a child of God, you go out and you either have married an unsaved person against the will of God, or you are quite prepared to marry an unsaved person if this one comes into your life. Why? Because you're not going to buy the truth of God. It might mean that you stay single for the rest of your life, because it might mean that God will wait until you are 30 or 40 or 50 years old, as one woman did, or she waited that long before God brought a Christian man into her life that was acceptable according to the Scripture. And I know the niece of this woman, and she said, if I have to marry a Roman Catholic, I'm going to marry a Catholic. I don't care. I am determined to be married. She said, I know my aunt, and she stayed single all of these years. Well, this aunt stayed single all of these years, and finally, I think she was about 50 years of age, and God brought this fine Christian gentleman into her life, and she will be rewarded for that. What did it cost her? It cost her 50 years of being single when this woman wanted to be joined. It's not good for man to be alone, and evidently it's not good for a woman to be alone in God's circumstances, normally speaking. And yet this woman, until God was prepared to bring her a Christian man, according to the book, into her life, she was prepared to remain single. I wonder if you young ladies are prepared to wait 50 years or a whole lifetime. I wonder if you young men are prepared to wait for a Christian girl to come along before you get married. And if you say no, then don't you know what you've done? You have sold the truth. You haven't bought it. What would it cost you? It would cost you years of loneliness. It would cost you years of going along by yourself. And you see this girl that's attracted to you. You are just like Samson. Samson sees this Philistine woman. And Samson isn't to have anything to do with the nations, with the Gentiles. And Samson goes to his parents, and he says, I want that woman. And Samson's parents say, can't you find any Israelitish woman to get married to? Samson said, forget all about that. Go get her for me. She pleases me well. Samson was prepared to have this woman at all costs. And finally, he did have another woman at all costs, Delilah. She cost him his life. But I'm speaking of these things in the Bible. And when you learn that you should not be unequally yoked together with an unbeliever, then you must accept that truth. And you buy it at the risk of staying single for the rest of your life, or at the cost of being a single man or woman until you're 25 or 30 or 50, or it may be a whole lifetime. And I'm afraid that there are not many Christians that are prepared to do that. And some of you don't give to the Lord as you should. You find in the Old Testament that they were demanded to give 10% of their gross income. It came to much more than that. And we as Christians are expected of God to give much more than that. But they are not Christians who are going to do that. It costs too much in a material way. And it costs also to go without the camp bearing his reproach. And therefore, those that are saved, those that go on, they're not prepared to have this reproach. It would be so easy for me to say, when someone asks, what denomination are you? How many times have I said, oh, here we go again? And I have to say, I am no denomination. Oh, I see. So you're interdenominational. No, I am no denomination. No denomination. No denomination. Oh, I've gone through that again and again. If I could just use one word, as so many people of the world do, it would be so easy. Even though I ask this question now, I say, oh, well, let me ask you this. What denomination does the Bible teach me that I should be? And they think and they say, why, no denomination. I say, well, that's the denomination I am. And then I throw it back on them. But it's much easier, rather than having to go through this embarrassing silence. They are wrong. The Bible teaches no denomination. And yet it is so much easier just to use one word, and I shan't use these names, but just to use one, and the conversation would end. And so we just have to say, well, we are evangelicals, we are non-denominational, something of that nature. It is costly to go without the camp, bearing his reproach, to gather to the name of the Lord Jesus alone, to take none of the doctrines or none of the names, as the old brethren said, of the sects and schisms of men. These were some of the words that the older brethren spoke of, and it cost them something. And I'm wondering if you appreciate that. I wonder if you have paid the price. Some still do. I could speak of Joseph, who paid the price of purity. Young people, are you prepared to do that? It's costly. When Potiphar's wife came and suggested a lewd act with Joseph, Joseph said, I cannot do this great wickedness and sin against God. It cost him 2 years in prison for saying no, that he might remain pure in heart. I wonder if you are prepared to do that. I assume that if young ladies are pure in heart today, they're certainly on the outside. They're not with the in crowd of people. Because purity of heart, why, that's something to be laughed at. That's something to be ridiculed today. But Joseph was prepared to be pure in heart, and it cost him 2 full years in prison. I could speak of Naboth in his vineyard. It says in the Pentateuch that a man is not to sell his father's inheritance. He was to keep it perpetually. And yet King Ahab said, I want your vineyard. And Naboth said, I'm not going to sell you my vineyard. God forbid that I should let you have my vineyard, my possession. And it cost him his life. John the Baptist, that he might maintain that whosoever putteth away his wife's saving for the cause of a fornication and marrieth another, committeth adultery. And whosoever marrieth her that is put away committeth adultery. And it cost him his life to take the stand on holy matrimony. And I find in the assemblies today that this stand that they took in the past, they don't take that now. A man can get divorced on other grounds and remarry, and yet he's accepted. Why? There are extenuating circumstances. God knows of only one, fornication. And if there's anything else, the Lord Jesus says, he is an adulterer. And whosoever marries that one that is put away committeth adultery with her. And John the Baptist laid down his neck to call a king an adulterer. You see, the truth is costly. But you say, well, those things that were important to them in the past, the truth of God is unchangeable. Sin is still sin. And I wonder if we're prepared to pay the price. And I have great esteem, greater now than I did before, of a young man to whom I was speaking recently. He was having difficulties laboring in a certain field. He's the same as I, with the assemblies. Trust the Lord, has no guaranteed income at times. That's all he can do to make ends meet. So here he is, and he had this offer from a denomination because he had so faithfully served the assembly in this area. The denominational preacher left, and they approached him and made this offer. They said, you can be our pastor. We will give you $20,000 a year salary. We will furnish you a car. We will furnish you a home, and we will furnish you money for other expenses. Will you come and be our pastor? And he said, no. And so for this truth of trusting the Lord, having no clergy and no laity, looking to God by faith alone, it cost that man $20,000 a year and struggling, unappreciated by many of the people whom he was serving. Do you see what truth costs? And yet if that man had said yes, he would have been far better off in a material sense in this world, but he would have sold the truth. Joseph, why, he could never have been in prison had he agreed to this sinful act with Potiphar's wife. Why, John the Baptist could have lived longer had he said, well, I'll overlook adultery in the king's life. But these were men who knew what truth was, how costly it was, and whatever truth cost, whether it cost 2 years in prison, whether it cost the wrath of the king, whether it cost a man's reputation, whether it cost a man his life, they were prepared to buy the truth. And this is God's exhortation still to us today. Find out what the truth of God is, and once you find out what the truth is, buy the truth and sell it not. Let's pray.